And welcome to the Say Less, Say More podcast. I am your co-host, 2-5. I got with me my guys. One goes by the name of Residente. We call him Rez for short.
Here.
We got Radical Jack, the Radical One.
Yes, sir. You already know what it is, man. Your boy Radical Jack, a.k.a. Swaggy J, a.k.a. Jackie Reigns, man.
Yes, sir. We are the trio that you didn't know you needed. We are the podcast that you didn't know you needed. And we got some good stuff in store for y'all tonight. Got a little bit of hip-hop, Cardi B. Got a little bit of NFL going on. You know, we got big games this weekend. Let's make some picks. And then you're going to get to know a little bit about us as we get into our deep dives. But right away, we're going to get to it. So, guys,
what's happening?
What up?
You know, just chilling. You know, the first episode, you know, let's come out with it. You know, no holds barred. Let's just get it.
Let's go.
We got the NFL this weekend. A couple of big games that we're going to get into real quick. So, we're going to take it right from the top. First, you got whatever that is that the Cowboys call defense. coming in to play, or they're going at home to play the Green Bay Packers. The Packers coming in off that fresh loss to the Cleveland Browns. So, guys, do the Pack get it right, or can the Cowboys get off the ground?
As far as I'm concerned, Green Bay owns Dallas, whether it's Aaron, whether it's Brett, whether it's Jordan. It don't matter. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jerry World, just it doesn't work out for Green Bay. I mean, it doesn't work out for the Cowboys when Green Bay shows up. So, for me, I got Green Bay.
The only time we've seen the Cowboys look good this year is when they were playing against the New York Giants. No, sorry. And, yeah, that was the game, right? It looked good?
Yeah, that was the game.
But, yeah,
I guess they kind of look good against us. Kind of.
For about a half.
Yeah, they also didn't have y'all's best defensive player the entire game. So
That too.
I think that had a big role in how they looked against y'all. But no, I think the Cowboys are gonna, you know, they're gonna lose against Green Bay. We both turned off the loss to the Browns. They're definitely not. They're not coming out to play with the Cowboys. And the Cowboys haven't shown the ability to stop a nosebleed. So they're gonna have a rough time on Sunday.
I hate to make it a clean sweep. But I have to, you know, because when I look at the Dallas Cowboys, I see a team in disarray. Now, Josh Jacobs does have an ankle injury going on, so maybe that'll slow Green Bay down some. But I expect a pretty comfortable win for the Packers. So then, you know, over in Arrowhead Stadium, the place where dreams go to die, the Baltimore Ravens are coming into town, coming off of a big loss on Monday night against the Detroit Lions. Both teams 1-2. Both teams came into this season as Super Bowl contenders and favorites. Who reverses the curse?
This was a tough one for me. I'm going to say Kansas City squeaks by. I think that they get the dub off of the Ravens just because the Ravens defense is not doing what we know Baltimore to do.
I think the Ravens win. This is the year where everything that went Kansas City's way last year goes the other way this year. I think that continues against the Ravens. The Ravens will be too good. Again, another team coming off a tough loss. A game they thought they should have won pretty easily and didn't. So I think Derrick Henry comes out, runs angry. I think that Kansas City hasn't shown the ability to be the team we've known them to be. Patrick Mahomes will be Patrick Mahomes, but his skill positions is still struggling. Nobody's scared of Travis Kelce. Nobody's doubling Travis Kelce. It's not a thing. So this is going to be a rough game for that Ravens defense is coming out angry. Like, they're coming out super.
Think so? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, so this is the thing. Derrick Henry can carry the ball. Can he hold on to the ball?
He can hold on to the ball.
Hey, we're not going to do the Derrick Henry has a fumble
problem. Oh, yes, we are.
I don't think it's a fumble problem. I think niggas just know how to punch. They just hit it right. They punching that ball out the right way. I don't think it's a fumble problem. It's just good angles.
Well, you know, as I was trying to figure out who to pick to win this game, I decided to keep it simple, right? Xavier Worthy is back. You know, apparently the Kansas City Chiefs have the best wide receiver in the NFL, Tyquan Thornton, right? I don't know where that guy came from.
Who's balling?
Yes, he is balling. You know what I mean? The Ravens, I think, are just a name at this point. We're used to the brand Raven, the name Raven, Lamar Jackson.
Ravens,
you know, they've been good for so long, but it's only so long fake teams can pretend.
Okay.
All right. So then, you know, the game of all games this weekend, guys, you know, who in the world had Daniel Jones leading a 3-0 team into somebody's stadium? So they're going to SoFi to get a piece of the Rams. You know, Colts keep it going, or do they get exposed this weekend?
Go ahead, Riz.
I'm sorry. I think this is where I step in as the person who did believe in the Colts. with Daniel Jones, you know, we got some people out here to call themselves fans. You know what I mean? I got to be honest with you. We got some people out here to call themselves fans, and as soon as their favorite player ain't suiting up, you know, as a starter, you know, they want to turn their backs on the team. But no, not me. Not me. You know, I took off my Niners hat for a little while and said, hey, what's going on over there in Indianapolis? how can I uplift the people? What do the people need? You know the people said? It's a Rajon. We need somebody to believe in Daniel Jones. So I said, send me, I'll go.
And you believe. You believe in Danny.
I believe in Daniel. I believe in Daniel, bro. And so they're going into who they got this week? The Rams?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going into SoFi? I think they're losing SoFi. They're losing SoFi. I think I said it in the group chat, and I really do mean it. I think that they might lose to all four teams in the NFC West.
Do they keep it competitive at least?
Oh, it's going to be a close game.
Okay, close game. All right, what you got, Jack?
I have the Rams because I want to believe that the Rams are the Super Bowl contenders. I think they are. However, Daniel Jones looks good. he looks good, man. I don't know what else to say. You know, like, I don't think Danny Jones. I didn't think he was trash when he was a Giant. I just think
he was trash.
No, I didn't think he was trash only because, like, when you seen him do certain plays, it was like, oh, yo, he actually, like, he's got some skills.
Yeah, like that Thursday night game against y'all where he ran for, like, 70 yards and tripped over himself.
All right, look, go Birds. Hey, now you see, fandom, I don't want to do that. So I believe that the St. Louis, a.k.a. Los Angeles, Rams, who will get the dub.
All right. So, look. It ends now. You know what I'm saying? The return of Nanny Nichols. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you got to make change for Danny Dimes, Nanny Nichols. It's a little bit different when you're playing the Miami Dolphins. You know, when you're playing against the Tennessee Titans. You're going to have Jarrett Verse, Braden Fisk, you know, Byron Young, Kobe Turner, all up in your grill. Now, Jonathan Taylor does lead the league in rushing. So, you know, but it's going to be hard to continue that if your quarterback's on his back. So I'm going with the Rams. I know I sound doom and gloom, but I'm not saying it's going to be a blowout, but, you know, maybe a 10-point win, you know, like a, you know, 31-21 type game. But to your point, Jack, I don't think the Rams are the Super Bowl contender you think they are anyway. So, but we'll say more about that next time.
That's right.
So, you know, we had an album drop in the last little bit. We got all the tea, as the young folks say. You know, Cardi B let it all out. But.
Literally.
Did she deliver?
Well. What say you, Cardi haters, old men, old guys?
Oh, wow. Oh,
yeah. Wow. Yeah. What say y'all?
Mel Calise.
Hey. Oh, now we know her name. It's crazy.
I'm going to let you take this one because I got through the first five songs of the album and then I had stuff to do. So I'm going to let you run with it.
But how'd you feel about the first five, honestly?
Of the first five, I love the intro. I thought the intro was fire. I thought it was a great intro. I love a good intro to an album. The second song was, I think I liked the second song, and the third one I was like, eh. And then I liked one of the next two. So
okay. I like that. So three out of five. Yeah. That's not a bad start. Personally, I was so nervous for Cardi. I didn't know how the album was going to go. I was hoping that it wasn't a sophomore slump. I feel like she's been in the game at this point for so long and been ahead of things for so long. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I figured that there had to be like a small plan. There had to be something. And when the album came out and I heard it, I said, okay, this is fire. And you know what I'm saying? Hey, I played some Everything at the Nest the other day. Everybody was going crazy.
Everything was good. I like Everything.
Yeah, this Cardi album is fire. Like she did the thing. I'm not a fan of the girly songs, but no, I think the album. I think she did really good. I honestly think she delivered.
What are your you know, if you having somebody listen to it, you tell them, hey, check out this album.
What are intro? So the intro, I think it's called Dead.
Uh huh.
So intro, Everything, and depending on your mood, if you want to hear something like more melodic, try the song with Kehlani. I believe it's called Safe.
The song with Sabrina Claudio. Is that mm-hmm. who that is? That sounds actually pretty good too.
Did y'all hear the Janet feature?
Of course.
It's not really a feature.
Yeah, it's not really.
I haven't heard the Janet one. It's so the same way Rez got busy, I got busy too. The only difference is I DJ, so I had to skim through some of the songs, but I didn't hear the Janet one. I heard it at the bar. So
you know, as the resident old man hater here, you know, so her first album, right? You know, I was like, okay, like a couple of songs, mostly the production. You know, so this album, I kind of took a step back out of myself. And then I said, damn, who taught her how to rap? Because...
Well, she's spitting.
Yeah, because sometimes the lyrics still aren't necessarily my bag. And they're not supposed to be, first of all, but they're right. Not my bag. But whoever has taught her delivery and execution of the lyrics...
Yes.
...deserves a raise.
All right, so... I think there's not enough people that are fans of hers, and everybody just assumes like she was just written these songs and she just couldn't rap because
we know she don't write them.
But that's the thing, right? Like saying that she don't write, she does write them. She just has tweaks. And I mean, I get everybody's trying to pretend like they're still so hip hop and we don't like the writer thing anymore. But like honestly, all your favorite artists do it.
We never liked it.
So let's be very clear.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I'm saying this younger generation that I'm ahead of now. They don't.
We never liked.
Yeah, like real hip hop heads. Of course, we don't like that ghostwriter shit.
Only way you get away with it. So the only way you get away with the ghostwriter thing is you have to be a supernova. So
like Kanye West.
Kanye West, Eazy-E,
Dr. Well, Eazy actually started writing his own stuff.
Hey, that guy who remained nameless had some hits.
Who?
Well, I said he remained nameless.
Nah, I need no name.
Your man.
That guy that's waiting on his sentencing.
Tory?
Nah.
Oh, Diddy.
New York, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man, he did.
Yeah, he had hits.
Now when we talk about ghostwriters, Diddy, he can't write.
There's no ghost about Diddy. It's just from day one, it was very obvious he wasn't writing his own lyrics.
Well, yeah, that's true, but it's just
supernova.
When I think of ghostwriters, I think of like I cannot rap. I need you to write me a verse and then teach me how to rap it.
That's Diddy.
That's not what Cardi's doing.
That's Eazy-E. That's Dre.
Yes. But it ain't Cardi.
I don't know if Cardi. I don't know.
Because if you go back and listen to Cardi's mixtapes, she was rapping, bro. Like,
people writing for her mixtapes.
Yeah, people write mixtapes.
Yeah, but she was loving hip hop back then. She wasn't important.
I mean, she will never be
really trying to get it out back then.
just from a, you know, and ladies and gentlemen, this is the trigger warning for Jack right here.
Uh-oh.
You know, she will never be viewed lyrically the way that people view Nicki Minaj.
Uh-oh, are we skipping to Jack's hot take?
You know what I'm saying?
But that's cool.
No, we ain't got to go there. We ain't got to go there yet.
I'm saving it. I'm cool.
But the point is that I'm trying to get to. The point is that she won't be viewed that way. But the way that she delivers the lines, you know, she has conviction. She's believable to where if you're not a hip hop head, you have no idea that it doesn't sound like somebody wrote for her because, like, in the songs where she was dissing people, where she was dissing Bia.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, some of that stuff is her and it's just tweaked the sound a little
bit. That chick said, your mama ain't want you, Brenda.
Got a baby ass bitch.
Fine. But see, that's the thing.
Diarrhea, Bia. Spell it before you see her.
But that's the thing. You can have ghostwriters and still like put stuff in there that's like, oh, I think it'd be dope if you said this.
Right, right.
Like, I think she has a team of writers. Like, they all sit in a room and they just write lyrics together. Like an R&B song.
Me personally, I still respect it because bottom line, like, that's her situations and hey, fuck it. Like,
all I know is when
Salt and Pepper is legendary hip hop groups and they didn't write a fucking lyric. So, hey.
All I know is when she delivered that Brenda had a baby line, all I heard was, fuck Jay-Z.
That was ether.
It was nasty.
All right. So, once again, y'all, you're going to have to get used to this. I got a trigger warning for Jack. Right, so
I this is a good topic, man.
As we sit here in 2025, does it still feel good to be an American?
I think Rez should go first.
All right, so 2-5, our host did not introduce this, but we all have some things in common, right? So, one, we're all veterans of the United States military. Some of us served in the best branch in the world, and some of us served in the Air Force.
None of y'all was in the Navy.
So, me and Jack, we're both Army. We're both veterans of the United States Army. You know, we all love this country enough where we suited up. Even, you know, went as far as to encourage family members to join the military, right? My son and my daughter are actually both in the United States military. My daughter's in the Air Force, out Guam. And my son, RJ, is in the Army National Guard. So I love this country. I've always loved this country. I believe in the promise of the United States of America. I think that America hasn't lived up to its promise. And I think America, as a country, is seeming, at least most recently, like the promise is being stolen. And that makes it harder to love, but I still love the country. I still am very proud of my service to this country. I'm still proud of everybody who I know who's serving this country. And I still want great things for this country. So I could never be on some like death to America stuff or like I don't want to live here. But I definitely could see why people could feel a way about America right now.
Okay. I like that. 2-5, you want to go or you want me to go?
It's up to you.
All right. I say... Personally, I have a lot of the same sentiments as Rez just said. You know what I'm saying? I personally feel like I'm proud to be an American. You know what I mean? Like, people say a lot. You know what I mean? I'm the kind of guy, I look back at everything we've had to go through, and I look at where we're at today, and I don't think that the environment, situation, scene, whatever you want to call it, the era that we're in, I don't think it's as bad as people want to paint the picture that it is. I think that there's a lot of love in the atmosphere when you go outside and you unplug and you talk to real human beings. I think there's a lot more love than we see on the internet. So me personally, I don't think America is this nasty country with just racism feeling everything and politics dividing everybody as much as people highlight it on the internet. I think in real life, like I think there's actually like a lot of camaraderie and I think a lot of people do genuinely seem happy. You know what I'm saying? Outside of like obviously, you know, economy type stuff and money wise, yeah, you know, we could talk about that for hours. But it's just far as people being around people, I don't think it's as nasty as people think it is.
Okay. Only child vibes here. proud is a relative term, and I think proud is a weird word because I didn't choose to be born in America.
Right.
You know, I didn't pick out America out of a brochure and say, that's where I want to be. Right. So back to what Rez was saying. It's like when I hear my cousins talk about a guy that they really, really liked. It's like, so why weren't you with him then? Why didn't y'all end up together? Oh, because I learned that I like the idea of him. You know, so I love the idea of America. I love the idea of freedom of speech, but we don't execute it. I like the idea of freedom of religion, but we don't execute it. So I'm proud of what America stands for. It's just hard sometimes because I want America to act as we are told that we're supposed to act. You know, the Constitution was created in a very specific way to avoid some of the things that we're seeing today.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I can't say that I'm unproud to be an American. You know, I just think that I just want America to be what she said she was going to be.
Yeah. And I think there's something to that. But I also think that I think you can love something and challenge it to be better.
Yeah, definitely. Like, and that's what we're missing.
Yeah, I love my wife very, very much, right? But I challenge my wife to be better. Like, yo, hey, have you thought about, you know, what's the last book you read? You know, you want to go do some stuff? Let's go expand our minds. Let's get better. As opposed to being like, yo, this is just who I am. And yeah. Or this is just accept me for how I am or leave. Like, no, I'm never. That's not a thing that you can do. And I don't think that's not something that you expect from something that you love, or people that you love, right? Yeah. I love y'all. Like, y'all are dope people, but I challenge y'all to be better. And I think that the problem is that there are people, like I said, that have stolen the idea of America and want America to be what they want it to be, and to be only for who they want it to be for. And that's not encouraging it to be better. That's not encouraging it to do as the Bible says, is to make sure that the least of these are not forgotten, right? Take care of the least of these. They want to say this is a Christian nation, even though the Constitution established that we cannot have a national religion. So we're not a Christian nation. We are a nation of laws. That is what we are. And in a place of freedom of religion, but as some people who claim to be Christian, but don't want to take care of the least of these, don't want to live as Christ lived and really uplift the thing that Christ, like, if you care, if you believe in Christ, the way you say you believe about Christ, in Christ, and you believe in America, the way you believe in America, this should not be a tough thing to understand. And that's where we lose a lot of the things. We want to ostracize people. We want to exercise xenophobia, homophobia, transphobia, all the phobias, and then say, oh, this is the melting pot. Come to America and blend in here. No, no, no. It's not a melting pot. It's a salad bowl, because we don't lose our form when we join this country. We maintain our current form. We just come together and learn to live in peace. And if everybody just came to it with that table, like, America will be it would be what it really has the potential to be. But it can't be as long as people are radicalizing patriotism and making it seem like if you don't 100% agree with everything that's happening, that means that you're un-American. It doesn't.
Yeah, you're a traitor.
No pun intended.
Yeah. You know, there are a lot of people who think that way, unfortunately. And it's like, you know, I hate the fact that if we disagree, we have to end the relationship or we got to cut ties. Like, that's my biggest gripe with everything right now. I hate that because I like blue and you like purple, we can't be friends no more. I think that's insane. You know, like, it's weird. It's really weird. And I think everybody needs to take, you know, at least one day a week and just get out of your phone. Turn that shit off. Turn it off. If you're single, sit in your house by yourself, read a book, and just chill.
Touch grass.
You know what I'm saying? Go walk. Yeah, do push-ups. Go walk around.
Give them 50.
You know, take yourself out on a date or something, but get off the phone. If you got a family, it's easier. Just turn it off and enjoy your actual family. Not just watching TV, like, play with your kids, do something, man. Like, unwind and unplug and get away from the algorithm. Your algorithms are tailored to show you everything you like. You're not going to get a bunch of different opinions unless you're really searching for that. Most of the time, you're going to get everything that agrees with you, because that's the whole point of social media. You can't stay on the phone if you see a bunch of things you don't like. So unplug, unwind, and get back to being like real people. Let's get back to that, because you see these kids, they don't even know how to talk to each other anymore. They don't know how to talk to human beings. They don't know how to look people in the eye. Reg, you making sure you're cut fresh?
I'm just saying, man. You know, you got something to look at, man. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, what's crazy to me is that before I joined the military, since we went the military route, before I joined the military, I was like true blue, you know, like America is great, you know, all this kind of stuff. And then it had that church effect. You know, sometimes you go to church and you see the deacon doing something unsavory.
I'm gonna say it. Yeah.
You know, you see these things and you're like, well, I don't want to be affiliated with that. You know, so when I was in the military, you know, because the military are viewed rightfully so as heroes, you know, but then you meet the people in the military that don't wear capes. And by that, I mean like their personalities and their attitudes about things. So from that standpoint, you know, you look at it and you go, is this the military? Is this the best of America? Is this what we're supposed to be representing? And, you know, and it comes back to all that other stuff that we were talking about, like the freedom of religion and all that kind of stuff, where the people that we are taught are heroes are happy to go take care of the right? Or like they're all like, oh, I hate like just this stuff, right? And that's not what America is. That's not what America is. But these are the people that put on the uniform that people look up to. You know what I mean? There is no Spider-Man. There is no Batman.
No.
You know, there's the branches of the military.
It's funny you say that, because I was going to say the way that you went into the military is you thought it was DC and Marvel. When you got into the military, you realize it's really the boys. That's what it is. It's the boys. Superheroes that don't give a fuck.
Right.
I'm going to rob the bank. Y'all ain't going to do shit about it. I'm going home. I could save you, but I'm not.
The problem is that we were taught how strict the military is and how disciplined the military is. And the culture exists that I'm talking about, and the people that I guess could make a change don't. You know, like, no. So I don't know if they just have those beliefs too, or, you know, whatever, but they let this stuff exist. Like, I shouldn't be able to walk into a military unit and hear people talking about hanging people and things like that. You know what I mean? That's not America. That's not. So those are the things when I was younger, you know, saying I might have been one of those people that they label like, oh, he hates America, or oh, you know, he doesn't want to be here. And I was probably that guy at one point in my life. But then, you know, like I was talking to Rez off camera, you know, at some point, I just had to live for me and forget about everything else, you know. And like, I'm only responsible for myself. I can try to give advice, or, you know, if people ask me questions, try to be honest and forthcoming. But all I can control is me. So I choose to love America.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, I had the opposite effect as you. So you went in thinking that they were heroes. I went into the military looking for a check and a lifestyle.
A charger.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, the charger. You know what I'm saying? Like, I thought my family's all military, so I know what the benefits were. So I was like, well, I'm not doing nothing. Hey, I'll go to the military, whatever. You know what I'm saying? And then as I went in, my pride changed to where I was like, oh, okay. Like, I viewed America totally different. I viewed the military different, because it's like, my thing was, oh, you a stupid, you know what I'm saying? You stupid as hell for trying to die for your country. You're stupid as hell. And then when I went in, I realized, like, okay, we're not dying for our quote-unquote country. You're dying for your loved ones, your friends, your brothers in arms. You're dying for something that's really important. You know what I mean? Look at it from that perspective, is a totally different thing. It's not just dying for your country. You're really dying because you love these people that you're supposed to be protecting.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Now, I definitely think, I mean, y'all have said it all. I know we live in a time where, you know, it's popular to, you know, try to, you know, trash people who join the military or say, I don't know how you can serve this country. When the truth is that these people who have the freedom to trash our country, they do so from the safety that they got, only because people put their lives on the line. So I always want to make sure that I take the time to shout out to the troops. Thank y'all so much for the way you guys continue to show up, guys and ladies continue to show up for this country and keep us safe wherever you are. We know that, you know, you serve the Constitution. But I, I a good one of my favorite people in the world who's in the military. I'm not going to use his name because he's a very high-ranking member. But his son just graduated from West Point. And he, when he was at his graduation party, you know, he reminded his son that you swear an oath to the Constitution. You don't swear an oath to the President of the United States. And I hope that every soldier in the military understands that completely, because there's going to come a time in the very near future where the question will be, do these troops serve
the Constitution, or the President?
Yeah. Good, or do they serve the President of the United States? Yeah. I hate that I'm having to think that way, but I am very aware of this reality. So just, you know, I'm always with the troops. I'm always staying with them. So just keep that in mind, and we love you and we support you for sure.
100%. 100%. You know, so guys, all right, before we go any further, all I'm going to say is don't get yourselves in trouble right now.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. But when do you, or when do you find it appropriate to tell your friends that they are the reason that their relationship isn't working out?
Y'all want me to take this as a person with a relationship podcast, or what are we doing?
Oh, yeah. Give us some jewels.
You're headed.
All right, fellas. So first of all, thank you so much. So again, so we know each other from, we all met on the internet, right? That's the crazy thing about the way this group, this pod came together. We all know each other from the internet. We all were part of a sports talk group, started chatting it up and just, and really enjoyed each other's company. And I was like, yo, we want to do something together that could be, you know, regimented and, but we all come from different backgrounds, right? I think all of us have been married and divorced.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So all of us have been married and divorced. All of us have been through ups and downs of relationships. I've actually been in my marriage that I'm in now for 18 years. I've been together for 20 years. We have a podcast, Pursuit of Forever podcast. Make sure you check it out wherever you can find podcasts.
Whoop.
My wife, Toya. But as the guy that's been married the longest to most of my friend groups, I end up having conversations with my homeboys. And I have to tell them sometimes, like, because one, you sit and you listen because you want to make sure they have a space, because Black men specifically don't have a lot of spaces where we can feel safe enough to share what we're dealing with in real life. So we bottle things up and we don't say anything. And in a lot of cases, we don't have a friend that is willing to tell us, yo, you're the drama, in the words of, you know, Cardi B, am I the drama? It's you. You are the reason. And but we don't do that because we don't. A lot of the men that you want to have these conversations with aren't living a life where they can have that conversation from a place of credibility. So if I'm living a foul life and you come to me for advice and I'm like, nah, man, you're doing the wrong thing, all you want to say is, well, what about you? You cheating on your girl. You doing this. You doing that. You doing this. And like, so we have to have, too often we have to have perfect messengers in order to have it. Credible messengers is a term, but a lot of times when if we're getting advice from somebody, you better have your stuff 100%.
Yeah, you got to be perfect. Yep.
So I've been in a position where I've had to tell my friends, yo, like, I've listened to what you had to say. Have you thought of this from her perspective? Have you thought about this? Have you considered the fact that when you do this, she may feel this way? It's not a hard thing to do if you have the credibility. The problem is that a lot of dudes don't have the credibility to make the big statement.
I think that as a younger person that's in a relationship that actually does not cheat, I say that it's appropriate based off of how you present yourself, you know, to a degree of what Rez was saying, you know what I mean? Messenger always matters. Doesn't matter what the message is if the messenger sucks. So me personally, the kind of friend I am, I'm always ready to ride your ass. Pause. I'm always ready to have some correction.
In the words of the late great Tupac Shakur, I reject your deposit.
So I'm always ready to offer correction.
Jesus.
That was egregious.
Crazy.
I'm always ready to offer correction, though. You know what I mean? And it's like you said, you know, I have a friend, he dates a girl and he's not a bad quote unquote boyfriend, you know, but there's flaws. There's ways that he could be better.
For sure.
Show it for a little bit better. And, you know, we've had those conversations where I tell him, like, hey, bro, you can't sit up here and be like, I want to be in a relationship And then on the same token, be like, man, she too emotional, dog. I got to break up with her. It's a woman. It doesn't matter which one you choose. The emotions are going to be there. That's how they function.
And if you ever dealt with a woman that does not have emotion, like that is the...
You need to run.
Oh, it is the worst. Run you ragged, bro.
She's going to kill you, dog.
Yeah. I can give you a list of signs to look for too.
She ain't gonna kill you. She's gonna be extremely logical, and she's gonna do you like a dude does a woman.
That's what I'm saying. She's gonna kill that man. He gonna have to crawl out the. You're gonna be in the sunken place, like on Get Out. You gotta crawl out of that when you deal with that relationship, because she's gonna drag you.
Yeah,
it's gonna be bad. Too far?
Yeah. So, couple things. So first, this topic hits kind of home for me because I was that guy at one point.
Yeah.
I had a wife that I thought was crazy. She is crazy, but I probably could have gave her a little more leash than I gave her. And so we went to marriage counseling, and the counselor asked me, what is she? And I said, she's my wife. And he said, no, what is she? She's a woman. What is she? And I was like, I don't know. I guess a human. And he was like, exactly. Exactly. She's flawed. You're flawed.
Yeah.
The difference is that you're supposed to compliment each other. So that's one of the biggest things that I see when I see a friend, treating their woman a certain way or responding, because even in my current marriage, when we first got married, one of the things she told me was, I used to have this thing where I've been married before, so I'm not going to argue about that because I know that's not going to end well. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to talk about
that. Oh, you're jaded.
But for her, it was, you're invalidating my feelings.
Yeah.
And it was like, no, I just know where this conversation is going to go.
Right.
And she's like, but it got to go there. You know what I'm saying? So that's where I learned from when I see certain things with my friends. It's kind of like, hey, man, give a little grace here, because I know that she puts up with a lot from you, or I know that you're not exactly the most pleasant person to deal with.
Yeah.
And then the second thing, it was weird because I've been around some Mormons in my time. And, so a lot of these Mormon husbands, like, they just do whatever. Like, they be like, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Baby crying, diapers, you fool, mama in there cooking. And it's like, hey, baby need to be changed. So there's like that line of like, is this religious? Or like, are you a douchebag, or is this just like your culture?
Yeah.
So as I see more and more people or their relatives, I'm like, oh, y'all just like this.
Yeah.
Like the woman just does everything.
And I think, that's also something that you can jump off of, based off of how you see your mother, or you see your aunts, or you see your grandmother treated by the men in their life, and you're basing it off of that. You see them and it's like, well, they dealt with it.
Yeah. You're sitting up here watching the Hunting Channel or whatever it might be, while your wife got a dish in one hand, baby in the other one, grease is popping her on her foot, from the pot. And like, you're literally just chilling. And so it's like, sometimes you got to be like, hey, bro, why don't you change the diaper?
Yeah.
And then the funny part is they'll say something like, I ain't one of these new age men like you.
Yeah, basically. It's just like, hey, when we was talking about the baby shower thing, y'all was like, hey, nah, we don't do that. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like,
I boycott baby showers.
Nah. So on this topic, right? Just to sort of show you like when you do identify this, like, so okay, I'll tell the story. So on the pod, on our Pursuit of Forever, I don't remember what episode I told this story. But there was a time in my marriage, like, I had a lot going on. Like, I still got a lot going on. Y'all know me. I'm a very busy person. I had a lot going on. So I'd be gone. I mean, I was coaching. I was playing softball. I was in plays. I had a band. I was in a gospel group. I had a lot going on, and I thought everything was good. I thought everything was really good. But what I didn't realize is my wife was at home depressed and wishing I'd be home with her every day and wishing I'd make more time to prioritize being with her. And I didn't have anybody that told me that. I actually stumbled into my wife's diary and, and read in her diary how sad she was, which made me look at myself like I'm thinking I'm this amazing husband and my wife is miserable. And that wasn't going to be able to last but so long. That was probably, I want to say, shoot, the twins was little. So we might have married 2 or 3 years at that time. But that made me completely change things. It made me think about the fact that I wasn't taking her on dates, but I'm out every Friday night playing in a club or playing, you know, at some kind of place. I'm out every Saturday on the softball field or playing basketball. I'm out every Sunday afternoon. Oh, I want to sit on the couch and watch football. And my wife got, like you said, she got a baby. She got two. Matter of fact, we had twins. She had two little babies and then three little girls running around the house all the time. I'm not cleaning up. I'm not cooking. So I said, okay, I'm going to cook. I'm going to cook one day a week. Even if it's not every day of the week, I'm going to cook more. I'm going to help around the house more. I'm going to make sure that I'm contributing around the house more. Every Friday night becomes date night. Y'all know for me, I can't do nothing on Friday nights because I'm on a date with my wife. I'm not on a date with my wife. Hey. I'm with my wife doing something because that's time that we prioritize. And our marriage has gotten better and better and better ever since. But I thank God that I didn't have to hear it from somebody else because, one, I had nobody to tell it to me and that I got it another way. But you shouldn't have to wait until your wife or to your lady until she's completely depressed before you recognize that. Talk to her. Mm-hmm. Ask her what she wants. Mm-hmm. Ask her how happy she is. And sometimes it's going to be your homeboys that's going to look around like, dude, you got a really good situation. Don't mess it up. And don't like just push him away because he don't have the perfect relationship. Sometimes people don't have that aren't in the best situation.
They need the love. Facts.
Yeah, and I had something sort of similar. You know, we do the homie check-ins and everything. And so one of the things when we started that was I was at a place where I was like, is my marriage about to end? Because, you know, like I just saw her like escaping all the time, right? Because it's like, hey, go have girls' night. Have fun. Do your thing. But then it's like, hey, damn, how many girls' nights y'all got? Like all y'all married. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Like, or like it was just whatever. But her thing, but her response was what got me. Like she was like, well, you got sports reports is ordered. You know what I'm saying? Best sports podcast in the land, by the way.
Best sports pod in the land.
Then she goes, you're doing the hot box, you know, a couple times a week. So, like, like, why am I supposed to sit around?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it made sense, right? And she's like, so no, from my perspective, our marriage ain't in trouble. You just need to be more available.
Right.
And then
right.
Once you're available, I'll be here.
Right.
And then it was just like, oh, damn. You know what I'm saying? So we had to come up with that schedule, right? Like, you know, this is the podcast night or, you know, whatever the case may be. And, you know, so all it comes down to marriages last because of communication.
Yep.
So when you have to confront your friend about them being the reason that the relationship is falling apart, it's communication. The approach matters. You know, the credibility matters. You know, and, you know, you got to know what you're talking about as far as what you're perceiving. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's a tough situation, though, for sure.
I agree. I think especially for the younger guys out there, you know, I am a big advocate. Put that phone up, dog. There's a lot of baddies out there. And you got one in your house and you're not paying attention to her because you over here looking at your algorithm and you're looking at asses shake and shit like that. And you got a lady in the living.
It is not my fault people post Salma Hayek.
Yo,
one thing I think everybody
is Jack will be the Imani character on here. Like, is that going to be a thing?
Where
he like turns like super suave and debonair, like when he starts talking about the ladies.
Hey, I don't know what you're talking about, but
Jones, Tate, looking at
you know, you just gotta find the right one. You know what I'm saying? You gotta.
I just think you have to take their magical approach. You know what I'm saying? As men, we have to remember these things, man. You're three people always. All right, you are a father, you are a man, and you are a husband. All right, You cannot talk to your kids like a man. You cannot talk to your kids like a husband. You cannot talk to your wife like a father. And you damn sure can't talk to her like a man. You got to talk to her as a wife. And when you get outside and you talk to men, you don't talk to them like they're your kids or your wife. You talk to them as men. So you have to keep those three distinctions very, you know, you have to be very, very disciplined, because it's not easy. There's going to be days, you know what I'm saying, where your girl piss you off and you like, man, I'm about to, who the fuck you talking to? And you gotta reel it in, dog. Like, she's a woman.
Yeah, and that's the big one. That's the big one. Like, when you hear your friends talking to their wife a certain way.
I get, you know, it's crazy. I don't have too many people that talk to their girls crazy, but I do have fellas that I have had to have private conversation about how they talk to their kids. And I know it's a big thing that we don't like to jump in on how that's people parent, you know that's what I'm saying? A big deal. We talking about relationships. However, dog. If you're a person that be cussing and yelling at your kids in front of me, I'm gonna say something. It might lead to us having a little discussion, but I'm gonna say something because I don't like that.
Yeah, you know the one that gets me is when you call the kids the N-word. That's the one that gets me.
Man, you know, calling your kids anything, little motherfucker, like, nigga, you little dumb stupid bitch. Hey, you anything that's not their name or a term of
son?
Hey, son, like, needs to be not son, you know.
But you know what? And just, I mean, and I don't want to get off this topic because I want to like move into another topic.
Right.
But I do want to say this. We as men also have to be very mindful of the types of men we are having in our circle. Mm-hmm. And that's another reason why men can't tell another man, hey, you're the drama, you're the problem. Because we have losers in our circle. And the thing I love about the men on the screen are they are truly men. These are manly men. These are husbands. These are fathers. Well, Jack will be a husband very soon. Shout out to my guy. What my guy? Hold on.
Couple weeks away.
Got me.
In the end of the room, you know, taking care of the munchkins.
I got my juniper green.
Come on, man. I think I also have juniper green.
Yeah, I'm here for it. You know what I'm saying?
I just bought a suit.
I got the gold. So, you know
what I'm saying? Daddy got some new shoes. You know what I'm saying? Let's get it.
But that's serious. Make sure, fellas, that you surround yourself with good men. You know, they don't gotta be, you know, Bible study, going to Bible study every day. That's not something we're talking about. We just talking about people that you know to be righteous, upstanding men. And if you find yourself in a situation where you need a word of wisdom, some words of wisdom, you don't gotta look far to find it. And that's something I know I got within these guys here, and I like to think that they have in me. So it's important.
Definitely.
100%. So on this, on that note, I would like to run it back. Clips, comments, anything that you heard this week that stands out to you?
I did. So, you know, we don't listen to BSPN. We don't watch it. We've all had this conversation. However,
hold on real quick. I know it's to you. Just the BSPN.
You know what I'm saying?
If you're looking for sports talk, go to, check out Sports Reports is ordered. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. ESPN is
Tuesdays and Fridays, 8:30 Eastern.
Golly, First Take is a rough watch. However, I did enjoy Cam on there the other day. It was cool. They was talking about a quarterback. I don't remember which one it was at this point. It was so long ago. But they were talking about a quarterback and how they thought that. Well, Dan Orlowski and Cam, actual NFL players, quarterbacks, were discussing how the quarterbacks are doing good and they're fine. This particular quarterback, I cannot remember to save my life. I'm really trying to remember, but I can't. So the quarterback A was doing his thing, and Stephen A. Smith was just like, nah, y'all wrong. The loss is on him. It ain't about the defense. I want to say they were talking about the Ravens and Lamar, but I don't know. But Stephen A. Smith was adamant about the QB not being able to secure the job and how it doesn't fall on the defense. It falls on the QB not being able to deliver. And Dan O and Cam kept trying to say, like, nah, bro. Like, you're not hitting what you think you hit. You know what I mean? So, for me, I just think it's crazy that in today's world, we have all these former athletes on these sports talk shows giving their advice, giving their takes. And then we have people that have never caught a football telling you, like, you don't understand, or y'all are wrong. Like, you've been out there before.
So I think there's so to that because that's been an ongoing discussion. Just like I know Ryan Clark had the back and forth with the gentleman about, you know, there's a space for journalism, right?
Right.
And I think and this is something I think we talked about on Sports Reports Disorder 2-5 when I was on that night. But I think that there needs to be a balance. There needs to be a balance between people who know how to write and know how to explain things in an effective way based on data analysis and journalistic integrity. There needs to be a separation from that and from just learned and lived experiences. It's two completely different things. Steven Spielberg can make a great movie about being in the military, right?
Right.
Will it be as authentic as somebody who was in the actual military would make? Probably not. But do I want to watch a movie made by somebody who was in the military? No. I want to see Steven Spielberg make the movie because he understands how cameras work. He understands how writing works. He understands how storytelling works. He understands how arts work. And that's what the journalists have the ability to do with data. The athletes don't seem to have that ability to separate themselves from the sport. And it often becomes, except for in a few cases, like Dan Orlovsky is actually a really good example.
He's really, yeah. Dan is good.
But talks about it from an analytical and data-rooted standpoint that gives him more credibility as a journalist. Cam doesn't do that.
No. Nah. Cam is pure experience only.
Well, it's pure experience. It's, I was able to do this, and if you're not able to do this at this level, then you're not as good as I am, so you're a mid-level quarterback, yada, yada, yada.
You know, like I always tell people when these type of conversations happen, and first of all, rest in peace, I tell people, like, Customato wasn't out here whooping people's ass. You know what I'm saying? But he made one of the, like, fiercest killers that we've ever seen, you know, in Mike Tyson.
That's true.
You know, so there is a value to that. You know, now when you're in too deep, if you will. Okay. When you're in too deep.
I feel like that was egregious, but hey, thank you. I feel like that was a little egregious. That was crazy.
There is a such thing that we refer to as blind spots. And especially when you're talking about a quarterback, you know, because that's the position that they played specifically. Okay. So there's going to be moments where they're trying to put themselves into Lamar's shoes, and that's valuable. But the problem is that it depends on what happened in their career or what they did is going to determine their response to whatever they're talking about. Whereas the person that's explaining it to them, theoretically, not all the time, but theoretically, has an unbiased view. You know, this is what I saw. This is how it happened. So I think that's the disconnect, you know, and I think that they just view it as you don't know nothing about football. You're getting a paycheck. Shut up and listen. You know what I mean? That's the way it comes across. And that might not be their intention, but that's the way that it comes across.
Yeah, it's very stay in your lane. It's very, we'll respect your opinion up to a certain degree. But you right. Got to remember, and this is something that I really do miss about not just sports talk, but just the news in general, is reporters are supposed to report the news. They're not supposed to tell you how to feel about the news. Sports journalists are supposed to tell you what happened in the news. They're not supposed to become the stories. And we have sports journalists that want to be the stories. It's my issue with Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith wants the article in ESPN to say, Stephen A. Smith said this about this athlete. Oh, what does Stephen A. think about? Like, he wants that.
You don't want to make the story. Enemy out of me.
He walks in Lakers games like he owns the Lakers.
Yeah, it does. He does. He doesn't walk in like he's trying to report the Los Angeles Lakers beat the Clippers 103-97. It was a great game. Mm-mm. Nah.
Where my carpet at?
The Lakers beat the Clippers, and here we go. What is LeBron James going to do? I'll try to tell y'all. He's still good. Like,
what does Stephen A. Smith think about LeBron James? That's what he wants the story to be.
Right. And that lasted for like a month.
Yeah. No, it's wild. It is really wild.
No, but that was a great one, though. That was a great topic. Yeah. So as you get to know us, you will understand that we are fans of the Joe Budden podcast.
We
might say some things that you might not get, you know, or whatever the case may be, but it's still funny. But anyway, this segment, this week on the JBP, has a couple of interesting things, you know. So first and foremost, there was a story being told about how Joe Budden's son, you know, lent some money out and he didn't have any money left. So he went to Joe and said, "Hey, Dad, I need a few bucks." And Joe was like, "I ain't giving you nothing." You know what I'm saying? So it's distinguished panel, you know, like, what do you think about that?
Yes. Do you want to go first or you got it, Jack?
I'll go first.
All right. Did you hear this discussion, Jack?
No, actually, I did.
All right, so let me set it up before you get there.
Okay.
Right. So the situation was that Joe's son Trey Budden, Joe Budden the third,
right?
Trey, had like Tufan said, he lent some money out to his mom, and he gave his mom his last he ran out, he gave his mom the last money he had, the last dollar he had, and so. Then he went to Joe and was like, "Hey, Dad, I need to borrow $150. And Joe was like, "No." And he's like, "What happened to your money?" He said, "Well, my mom needed to borrow some money, so I let her borrow the money. But now I need your money." So now, with that as a context, what are your thoughts?
I think that if you want to be petty, man, then of course you would say no. However, as a grown man, you should show your son that what he did was respectful as hell, and it was bigger than himself. So you should definitely give him that money. You know, he did it for his mom. He, you know, even if it wasn't his mom, even if he was just like, "Hey, you know what, Dad? I was at the store, seen this person. They needed this, and you know what? I gave them my last $35."
Okay,
I think it's admirable. You know that he didn't lose his money on goofy stuff. Like, he didn't buy some J's or, you know, I'm stupid. He gave his money to somebody he thought needed it. And I think Joe was really childish in that moment. And I think it screams a lot about his relationship with his kids as a dad. And it shows that his maturity level he still needs to tweak it a little bit, you know? Okay. Like,
what you think, T5?
Knowing me how I am, I would have all the questions. You know, who did you give the money to? What did they need it for? You know, and then you got to take care of home first. You know what I mean? You can't give people what you don't have. You know, that's probably how I would lead the conversation. Now, especially if this was the first time that it happened, because I would look at it from the standpoint of, are your bills paid? You know, like, got food in your house? You got gas in the car, you know. So
I was looking at it like he still lived at the crib with mom, but yeah, you know, that was a totally different. Okay, I like that viewpoint.
No, so to add a further context, Joe pays his rent.
Oh,
yeah.
Hey, rewind.
So, are you done too far with your point?
I'm about to one last quick thing, real quick. So. Anybody that knows me, and unfortunately, if y'all get to know me, you're going to find out that me and my mom don't have the best relationship. But I would never tell someone that they shouldn't help their mom out. Uh-huh. You know, that's first and foremost. Even myself, right? I would not help my mom. You know, but you got to take care of your responsibilities. You know what I mean? Because the bill collectors ain't going to call your mom. Right. You know what I'm saying? They're calling you.
You.
So make sure that you good before you lend it out.
Yes. So 2-5 right there. So I think it's extremely, to your point, Jack, I think it's extremely admirable that you saw your mom in need and you decided to help your mom. But as a man, you have to understand that you got to take care of home first. So from two standpoints, one, Joe is saying, I'm teaching my son about sacrifice. Right. So, yes, it's admirable to say, oh, I see this person. They're in need. I'm going to give them something because they're in need. But now you got to experience the sacrifice part. Don't give somebody your money knowing you're going to come ask me for money.
Yeah.
Don't.
I didn't know that was the context. Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? I thought he was 16.
You have your money. That is your money to do what you need to get done with. So if mom comes to you and mom's in need, and God bless her, if she is, if you gave it to her, you gave it to her. But now you got to sacrifice. Now you have to learn what it is to go without. Because if my mom, I love my mom to death. But if I only have $150, and my mom's like, I need $150, and I know that I need my $150 to do something, there's nowhere I can go to get that money. It's my last.
Yeah.
So at a young age, understanding, no, I have to have more discernment about the way I'm managing my money. So, hey, mom, I can't give you this full amount because this is all I have, but I can give you this and still have what I need to get done. I'm trying to get to and from work, or I need my cell phone bill is due, and like I can hit you next week, or you know, whatever. Like, take care of your mom, like, love your mom. There's nothing wrong with being there for people you care about. But also understand that there will always be somebody that needs something. There will always be somebody that needs something, and they're gonna need it really, really, really bad when they come to you.
Where I come from, people only need $6.
Hysterical. And you have to be able to say to yourself, okay, cool. I have a rule. If I can't give it to you and be cool if I never get it back, I'm never giving it to you. That's one thing. Two, I'm not gonna put myself in a hole to help you out. Because when you have extra money, you don't show up at my door like, hey Rajan, I got extra money. Here you go.
Yeah.
So if that's not the case, then yeah, nah, we can't do it. But I definitely understood the point. I can understand somebody see on the other side. But the part that sort of ticked me off was that everybody on the pod was going at Joe like Joe was dead wrong. The only person that was with Joe was Sasha. And Sasha's like, I kind of get what he's trying to tell him. Like, you got to make sure you take care of home first. As a man, Doug, you got a wife and how many kids in that house?
Yeah.
So if my mom came to you and was like, oh, I need this money, and this is the last you got?
You got
my cousin taught me a phrase. He's like, well, which one of my kids you want me to not feed so I can give you this money?
Well, you see, and that's the thing, right? So context is everything. Because I definitely was like, oh, Joe's messed up, blah, blah, blah. Didn't realize we talking about a grown man.
It's a grown
that
man.
Changed,
hey, I, no, Trey is 25.
Everything that changes everything, dog.
Trey is 25. And you made a song that dissed me?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, so my thing is, you know, like, Rez got his rules. My rules are simple. All right, if I can't do it three times, I can't do it once. Yeah. That's just bottom line. If you need $3, you know what I'm saying? I gotta have time. You know what I mean? If you need anything, well, first of all, if you ever ask me for $6, I'm calling your wife. I'm calling your wife and I'm gonna tell her, like, yo, your man is asking me for $6. I think you might want to have a conversation. You know what I'm saying? Personally, me and my boys, hey, anything less than $150, I gotta ask you some questions. You know what I mean? Because
how long have you been smoking crack?
What exactly are you taking care of for $25? Like,
I had a streak where people would call me and ask for $30. 30 was the number. Can I borrow $30? No. Why? What is selling for $30 that y'all need $30 so bad?
I'm looking dead ass in the camera. If you need anything less than $150 for quote unquote help in life, and you are a grown ass man,
duh,
I'm thinking you're on crack. And if you're my friend, I'm calling your wife.
Because even if you say, I need gas money, like $40 makes sense.
I'm calling your wife.
All right.
Yeah, exactly. What do you need $40 from me for?
So I think because
I know for a fact, Rez, I know you can call your wife and be like, hey, babe, I need $40.
Yeah, I could.
Exactly. I'm calling your wife.
So I think we're going to go with Joe got it right.
Yeah,
I think Joe got it right. He got it right.
All right. Here's the next one. Because this happens a lot. You know, we see people get confronted in the streets and, you know, things happen. Can podcasters just say what they want to say?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I can say whatever the hell I want to say. However, there's consequences to everything you got to say. I can say what I want. However, if I value my pockets or I value... you know, ads, if I value sponsorships, if I value
your life,
hey, shout out to CK. If you value your life, you might want to watch what you say and who you say it to. Everything shouldn't be on camera. But I will say, yes, you can say whatever the hell you want, but there are consequences to everything that comes out your mouth.
Yeah, no. I definitely, I'm not a big believer in just saying whatever you want. I try to live that too. Like, I try to be very selective with the things that I say, just because, like, I like living like I live. I like
being able living.
Go to the store without having to wash my back. Yeah. You know, I don't want to be at random community event and somebody goes, "Hey, ain't you the one that said?" Nah, nope, not nope.
You so, said fuck the Falcons. Atlanta, nigga.
You know what I'm saying? So, and I be out here. So, like, I try to make sure, like, I ain't no punk or no, nothing like that. But I definitely am. I'm not a big believer. I don't think anybody should just say whatever comes to their head. I think that you need to have a certain level of discernment and a certain level of cooth about yourself to recognize that everything ain't for everybody, everything for every platform. And some stuff you just only need to say in your house to your loved ones, like the people who really, really, really love you. Yeah. So, yeah, that's it for me.
Yeah, I think for me, I learned a lesson. Nobody came at me or anything, but, you know, sports reports is ordered. So I'm a Kentucky Wildcat basketball fan. And, you know, me and Rez always talk about this. I try to not be biased, but it sometimes goes too far the other way.
Cats gonna find you, bro. Don't
even though it's my team, I'll like start criticizing them to show I'm not biased, but then it goes overboard. So I had this thing for about a year and a half where I would just shit on Julius Randle every chance I got. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it don't even matter. Like, the dude could hit a 3-point shot and, you know, like to win the game. And I might say something like, yeah, it was the basketball gods. And then the next time he does something, I'm like, I don't even know why he ain't in the G League. Right. So it was never anything crazy to where I was disrespectful, like to the man, Julius Randle.
Kwame Brown but, case.
You know, but a lot of these guys are sensitive regardless of what you say about them. Like, you know, period. You know, so, one day, you know, Mr. Logical, my partner, was telling me, he said, hey, man, just real talk. You know Julius Randle is like 6'8". Right? like 200.
Like, he really is.
And he's really like, is. You know, if you ever run into Julius Randle, you're going to have to explain yourself.
Hey. I think people do forget about that, bro. Yeah. I promise. People forget. People be like, oh, yeah, Shaq's a bitch.
So you know, so it was one of those things where it's the same thing, right? Like, you can say what you want to say, but you can't dictate people's reaction.
You cannot.
You know, or as Rez would always say, you know, you can't tell me how to react to disrespect.
Yep, you can't.
So that's what I live by now. So I'm going to say no. I mean, you can say what you want to say, but you shouldn't. I'll put it like
that. I'll say I'm getting better. But it's Rez's turn. But I'll say I'm trying to get better.
Yeah, no, I've always operated under the auspices that I'm gonna be very famous one day, and I don't ever want to be in a space with other famous people and have said some really disparaging things about those people. And be like, yo, ain't you the dude that said, like, real talk. So this is something I really believe. So me and Toya started dating in 2005, right? Okay. 2005. Our first New Year's together was December 31st, 2005. And we were at her apartment that she had, West Ashley down in Charleston. And Trey Songz, they said Trey Songz was about to come on 106 in Park, the countdown show. And my wife, well, my then girlfriend of a few months, lost her ever-loving mind. Oh, my God! Trey Songz! And I was like, I'm like, meet this man one day. And this is how you gonna act? I am so disappointed in you. Like, this is crazy. And it wasn't even him. They just played the song. So now you look crazy. And you look crazy. So yeah, I've always like, so I've always thought that way. For a very like, one day I'm gonna really be somebody. And I'm gonna
hold be on, hold on, Red, let me ask you a question. Just real quick. Let me ask you a question. Is there any celebrity that you would fan out for?
Not any women.
Okay, that's fine.
I mean, like, if I met Jay-Z,
husband of the year,
I fan out. If I met Jay-Z, if I met Barack Obama, I shook Barack Obama's hand once. If I had a conversation,
was he a senator, or was he already president?
He was running for president. He actually came. He actually spoke at. He came and spoke. Fireworks. He came and spoke at my high school. I mean, long after I graduated, 2007, he came to my high school and spoke. I waited in line for 4 hours to be in the front of the thing. And when he had this thing in his speech, where he'll say, you know, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result is, and I yelled, insanity. And he said, that's right. And he pointed at me. And so when he walked around the thing, when he was walking around, I was in the front row. He shook my hand. He said, you keep remembering those quotes, young man. I'm like, that's right. I will.
I will.
So like, but that serious, like that's probably, it's, if I, Stevie Wonder, if I got a chance to meet Stevie Wonder, I would lose my mind. If I met Beyonce, I would be starstruck, but I wouldn't lose my mind. I think I'd be pretty cool because I like my wife a lot.
I think it's funny, you know, like the only people I've ever thought I've ever fanned out over would be obviously Michael Jackson, but like Kobe Bryant and Terrell Owens were the only people where I was like, if I see these dudes, I'd probably lose my mind. You know what I'm saying? And Kobe, I mean, you
lost your mind. I know you lost your mind.
Oh, dog. If I met Kobe, dog, I'd nah, it would be, yeah, 2-5. It would be bad. But you see, come on, dog. Hey, it is what it is, dog. It's him. Like, hey, come on, dog. But nah, if I ever met anybody in real life, I don't know. I don't know if I'd fan out now. I don't think there's anybody I could really think that I would fan
out. If you met Drake, you'd fan out.
Nah. I wouldn't. I would. You know the crazy thing is? I'm a bigger Drake fan than I am any other rapper, right? However, I would be more starstruck seeing Chris Brown than I would Drake. Which is weird.
Chris Brown, like if I met Kendrick Lamar, I'd just, he's the homie. Like, we're the same age. We're roughly the same age. Like, Jay-Z, I've been a Jay-Z fan since I was 16.
I think that's what it is. But I think that's what it is, right? Like, me and Drake are, what, 4 years apart?
Yeah.
Me and Chris Brown are, I think, two. We're contemporaries, buddy. Yeah, so it's like, I don't really need to fan out. You know what I mean? Like, I'm fanning out. Now, if I see Michael Jordan, I probably would be like, oh, shit. Like, that's MJ.
I might rob him.
Nah, I don't like those Manila eyes.
Actually, you know what? I'm lying. I am lying. If I met Dave Chappelle, I'd fan out.
No, Michael Jordan's eyes look like Manila envelopes, and they scare me, so I wouldn't fan out.
That's hysterical. Who would you fan out over?
It would probably have been Kobe because. I wouldn't do all that though. I wouldn't do all that though. Kobe will punch me. Like, I'd be like, "Yo, Bean." but Joe, I just started being able to say his name this year, you know, since the thing happened. Like, you know, I couldn't say his name, or like I would see, like, because I was always that guy, like, why y'all so sad that this celebrity died? You never met him. And, you know, but when that happened, like, I would see like clips of him on TV or something.
Yeah.
And like, my eyes would get a little watery. Like, yeah, like it was weird, right? So either him or, all right, now. Don't judge me when I say this.
No, I'm judging the hell out of you.
All right. Anybody from the Wu-Tang Clan that is not U-God, Capadonna, or Inspector Deck?
All right, cool. Next topic.
I had the fangs and everything. I'm just keeping it real, y'all. I'm just keeping it real. But as far as can podcasters say what they want, you know, got it right or bugging?
They got it right because they said no.
Who made that point?
Joe. Or Joe was it Ish? Was it Ish? It was either Ish or Joe.
I want to say it was Ish.
But either way, they got it right because everybody agreed. They all said, nah, you can't. You can't just be out here.
Oh, yeah, they got it right then.
Yeah, they got it right.
So, all right, time for some quick hit. I had heard that there was some currency in the building and it might be crypto.
I mean, crypto is going crazy right now. So what I will say is, if you are still doubting anything in the crypto market, you still think it's this volatile thing, which technically, yes, we can use that. It's still volatile because, you know, I want everybody to make safe decisions. However, comma, if you're still wondering whether or not this is a scam or man, I don't know, it just seems too good to be true. This is not Dogecoin that we're talking about. All right. We're not talking about meme coins. We're not talking about Shiba Inus and stuff like that. We're talking about real coins. You know, obviously everybody knows Bitcoin. Everybody knows Ethereum. Everybody knows, you know, the dope ones. But XRP is making crazy moves. You know what I mean? You gotta sit up here and you have to really research what you're looking at. You know what I mean? Like, anybody could tell you run out and buy something. And if you don't believe it, there's so many forums that you can look up and be like, okay, well, what's hot right now? And then you can look and see why it's hot. And then you can also look and see what is the news saying? You know, what are these articles saying about this and that? And XRP is a great, great point, because XRP is moving and grooving. They are utilizing, they are making apps now that are going to start taking XRP. They are now converting, like, man, I cannot remember right now. It's a major, major, major company that will now be accepting XRP as a payment. You know what I mean? And then on top of that, BRICS is a big thing too. If you don't know what BRICS is, it's Brazil, Russia, India, China, and
South Africa.
I want to say it should
be. Damn, you caught me off guard. I thought you were talking about BRICS.
But nah, that is that they're trying to make XRP their national currency. Like, they want that to be their currency. So if you're looking at XRP, or you've heard about it and you've seen it went from, you know, 35 cents and now you see it's at, I think right now it's actually trending down. It should be at like 270. Yeah, 276. So, you know, and Bitcoin is at 109.
All right.
So just the thing. Bitcoin in 2019, when COVID hit, went all the way back down to 22,000. You know what I mean? In 2014, when the movie Dope came out, in Dope, they were talking about buying things with Bitcoin, and nobody knew what Bitcoin was. Yeah. And I'm telling you, that year, Bitcoin started going crazy. My homeboy went and bought a Lamborghini literally the next day. It was insane. I didn't have it. I was thinking about buying some, and I never did. I got a homeboy that had 22 Bitcoins, just 22, and he sold them all because at Pizza Hut, that's how they would let people get pizza. You know what I mean? Like, it was something so small back then. But those 22 Bitcoins could have literally changed his life. So my thing is, if you're still doubting the stock market, you're still doubting crypto, please, please, please do your due diligence and look it up. That's my quick hit.
There we go.
So my hot take is Cardi has surpassed Nicki Minaj. So this is the thing, right? So everybody keeps talking about Nicki, all this other shit, right? Nicki Minaj benefited from not having any competition when she came out. If we're being completely honest, our only competition was Eve and Trina, and they were already on the way out. Nobody was listening for them. Nobody cared. Once Nicki Minaj got hot, she was on the Hip Hop Awards and all that stuff. She was winning BET Awards. Why? Because there was nobody competing with her. They were literally putting up anybody, Lil Mama and all these people. They were putting up people that hadn't even put out albums. It was just, are you a female rapper? All right, we got to put you in this category.
You also put Lauryn Hill in the category.
You know what I'm saying? And guess what? Nicki was dubbing everybody because she had no competition. She benefited from being on Cash Money with Wayne, so she was with the biggest rapper in the world. She was with the biggest upcoming rapper in the world. And then on top of that, she bodied everybody when Jay-Z and Kanye were still kings of the whole everything. When Jay-Z and Kanye were still doing their thing and Nicki got on Monster and she went on there with all them dudes and she was a female and held herself with a real verse, not talking about her pussy, but really rapping. That's what everything.
She did bring up a threesome and titties in that verse.
Yeah, but it was dope. And she
was. Nicki on them titties when I signed it.
But the thing is, Cardi B came out during Nicki's prime. Mm-hmm. Not only did she come out during Nicki's prime, she also came up, was equal to her, was in the club the same way, had a natural growth, just like Nicki did. It wasn't something else forced upon us. And Cardi did things that Nicki couldn't do. She got the Grammy. She got the album of the year. You know what I mean? You can say what you want about ghostwriters, yada, yada, yada. You can't tell me Nicki ain't got ghostwriters. If she's not talking about her sons, Drake has helped her with that pen. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. So my thing is, Cardi is natural. She's naturally loved by everybody. It's not forced. There's no, everybody loves that girl's personality. She was a star on Love and Hip Hop when she was still fucked up teeth and a big nose. You know what I mean? So now when you look at everything and you compare the two, you compare a Nicki Minaj, you compare a Cardi B. Cardi B, what does she do? She latches on. Hey, Meg, come on, get on the song. Hey, Glow, get on the song. Hey, Lotto, come get on the song. You know what I'm saying? What does Nicki do? Oh, shit, you threatening me? Nah, fuck that bitch. Nah, fuck her too. Fuck her. Nah, fuck her. Oh, wait, y'all don't like Cardi? Okay, well, come on, Ice Spice. You can get on the song with me. And then what happens? Oh, 3 months later, Nicki Minaj don't fuck with Ice Spice no more. What happened with Meg? She got on the song with Meg. What happened? Oh, Nicki Minaj don't fuck with Meg no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's just, to me, Nicki Minaj is the benefactor of you had no comp and you got to rise up on this whole solo thing. And once you saw a piece of competition, you turned into a hater.
Mm.
Cardi for president.
Okay. All right. Hot take. Well, that was Jack's hot take, y'all. What you think? What you think, Tufai? Say more, say less.
So I think this is Kareem and LeBron. You know, the all-time leading scorer, and you know, the new young Jack that we see is on that path to, you know, become that, and the old guy can't handle it. You know, like, he loved being revered, you know, and, you know, loved the stat, even though he wasn't necessarily in the media per se, but he loved what came with being the all-time greatest scorer. So Nicki at one point was, I ain't gonna say she was the greatest female rapper, but some people viewed her in that lens, you know, and Cardi comes along, you know, she's two albums deep. So it's kind of hard to just say, you pass somebody, you know, when you only got two albums. We don't know what your next album going to look like, what your next album after that going to look like. You know, it's like the Biggie argument all over again. I was about
to say, Notorious got two albums, and we definitely put him in the top 10 all the time. Top five, and some people.
But that's what I'm saying. And
top two and not the two.
Right, but to some degree, and that was cool when I was like 16, you know what I mean? Or however old I was when he passed on. But you know, but when you look at it, you're like, but the other guys kept going. You know, Jay kept going. Nas kept going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So Cardi still has more material and, you know, critically acclaimed things that she needs to do before I can just comfortably say that she passed Nicki.
I just want to add this tidbit. It's been 7 years. Wait. 6 or 7 years, right? Since her debut album. She's,
yeah, I want to say it was 2017. Got, might be 8 years.
She's got Diamond Records. She has not fallen off in any of those years that she wasn't dropping albums. She was dropping 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 songs a year, and she was still rocking things.
That don't mean they were good.
I mean, I'm just saying she made Glorilla a household name. It's her that put Glow up there. Yeah, Fuck Nigga Free was cool. But when she got on Tomorrow 2, Glorilla's name really, it started ringing.
See, and I think that's the problem with these conversations because it's subjective, right? So we're defining it by our own criteria. You know what I mean? Because somebody might look at somebody like, say, actually, I don't even want to have that conversation. You know, Cardi will make hits or whatever the case may be. She has these diamond songs and things that you're talking about. But just because the song was successful doesn't mean it was a good song.
Right.
It just means that it might have been catchy. You know, people dance to it. But, like, does it hold up? Does it stand the test of time?
See, and that, I think that conversation is hard. It's hard to have. Because we all know, like,
because then you know your point is wrong.
Well, no, not that. No, these are great songs. like Tomorrow 2 is a great song. You know what I'm saying? WAP is a great song. You know, like, it's inappropriate, but it's a great song.
Is it? I mean, no, trust me, I'm a red-blooded man, so I like it. But is it?
Like, what are we talking about here? Is WAP a good song? Like, come on, man.
I'm a red-blooded man.
That sounded like, I'm proud to be an American.
I'm 40.
I told you I was proud to be an American.
but I think the point that Jack made that has sped up Nikki's fall from grace, if you were to say she had one, was the fact that she never found a way to play nice with others. Like, she just never did. Every time a new chick came around, she got mad at the chick just for existing, like for daring to make music in the same time period as she made music. It made no sense. And she did the same thing that Kim did to her, which made no sense when Kim did it to her. So I think to say that Cardi passed Nicki, I can't say that yet. Nicki has too much music. And Nicki's done it over too much of a sustained period of time. Though I'm not the biggest fan of Nicki's music, Nicki's fans are the biggest fans of Nicki's music. And people over the course of Nicki came around with 2010, 2009, 2010. Yeah. Yeah, this is 2025, we're going to be in 2026, and she's still putting out music. You can debate how good the music is, but she's still putting out music that is selling. She's still doing arena tours. She's doing arena tours, and she's selling them out. So that's something that just happened this year. True.
So I mean, I respect that. I respect
if Cardi's if Cardi's doing that in 14 years, bro, like think about it. Cardi put out her first album 6 years ago?
Yeah.
6 years ago, and then the way she's selling this album here, without, let's just do it. Take WAP off that album. Take Up off this album.
That's it. It's just those two songs. Everything else is brand new.
$9 million in sales, those two songs.
Well, no. So this is the thing. That doesn't count towards the first record. I mean,
it counts towards certification. So it's already certified.
Yes, the album is already certified platinum. Correct.
It didn't
count towards first week sales. Yeah,
and we haven't seen those numbers yet.
We haven't seen them yet, but they're. By the time this pod comes out, they probably will be out. But I was just gonna say what I'm saying is, you know, we talk about is the music good, yada yada yada. I'm just saying Cardi did it without a machine. She didn't have. You what?
Oh, I just.
All she had was Love and Hip Hop. She is Cardi the machine.
Cardi has a machine, bro.
She has a machine as far as a record label, yes, now. But I'm saying Cardi originally, like, she was the machine. It was her personality. Everybody loves who that girl is in real life.
Yeah, she's a tour de force, but she definitely has a machine behind her, though. You don't.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying organically, just the fandom is it's all her.
Yeah,
it was not a question from anybody else.
So I got one last question. We don't got time to answer it, but just food for thought and something to ponder. What's the difference between Nicki Minaj and 50 Cent?
Okay. Nicki has two good albums.
Hey, first of all, 50 got two good albums. Don't do that.
No, he doesn't.
Haterism. That's more what I was talking about. Like the hating on the new people and all that.
We don't want to dive into it too much, but I will say this. 50's not the hater that Nicki Minaj is. Nicki Minaj has shown us that she is like really a nasty person.
She hates all the girls.
Like, she hates everybody. 50 ain't like that. Like, come on, we gotta
get She's a nasty people. Woman. She's probably never mind.
Sorry, hey dog.
He said, hey. All right. Well, I mean, hey, we did it. So, you know what I'm saying?
We did it, dog.
We did it. Hey, that's record. That's record. Look at that. We talking about rapping. That's episode one wrapped up and in the bag. You know what I'm saying? As always, we appreciate everybody tuning in, man. First time, last time listeners. We just three guys with a perspective, hoping to deliver it the first way of thinking. Always remember, man, open dialogue expands intelligence. Say less, say more.
Yeah.
I'm Radical Jack. That's 2-5. That's Rez. Go Birds. We out.
Bang, bang.